Welcome back to Art House Garage. You are listening to episode 3, entitled Movie Reviews Are Overrated. My name's Andrew Sweatman, and I'm here with my co-host and good friend, Drew Foote.
Hey, everyone. What's up?
Always so good to have you here, Drew. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, dude, I love getting to talk about this stuff. It's awesome.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking this week with a good friend of mine named Amy Harrington.
So for me and all the listeners, tell us how you know Amy and why you wanted to have her on to the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So she is a good friend of mine from college, and we studied abroad at the same time in Liverpool, UK. We're going to talk about that in the discussion. And we've had a film class together, and we also, that was semester, all the friends that went abroad went to the movies a lot. So I look at that semester as a time that really kind of grew my film knowledge and my love of film. And she was a part of that. So it's kind of cool that she was kind of alongside for a lot of that. And then just a few weeks before we launched this podcast, I happened to kind of run into her. Don't see her very often anymore, but told her, hey, I'm thinking about doing a podcast, and told her a little bit about the idea. And she was like, oh my gosh, I love that. And she immediately jumped on the kind of the snob free idea and really kind of encouraged me to get started with it.
I love it. I love it. How do you feel like watching film in the UK or in Europe affected how the movie experience? I know that has nothing to do
with it. No, that's interesting. That's a good question. So there were several Americans with us in this class, but there were several British students as well. And there definitely were some different. So here's the funny thing. The class was called America on Film. And so we were looking at American culture and history, like decade by decade. From a British teacher with a bunch of British students. And it's like, here's the British perspective on all of this, which may be more accurate. I don't know, because it could be objective, but it was really interesting. And sometimes a little overly simplified, we felt. I remember talking like, well, the 70s weren't really only about this one thing, but it was a pretty cool class. Yeah.
Do you feel like Amy added anything to that? Like, do you remember any time for like any movies that stood out or anything that you feel like Amy had a really good opinion about something that really pushed you?
So she tends to like be favorable on most things that she watches. And we talk about that in this discussion too. But for that reason, we would watch something in class and maybe not a lot of us liked it, but Amy and I could definitely vibe and be like, okay, so what were the good things here? Even if it was, you know, a crazy movie. So for instance, we were watching American Psycho with a bunch of like Southern Belles who'd never seen anything like that. It was like way too intense, way over their heads. Southern Belle is probably not the right word, but people who, that was not their bag. And so it was just an interesting dynamic there.
Well, I'm really excited for everyone to hear the conversation. I've listened to it, and it's really neat. And I love, like you said, she's not some like expert. She's not someone that's like a snob about movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the other question I had for you before we go into this interview is like, why are we talking about movie reviews? Like, why does this even matter?
Yeah. So I want to say, first of all, that I think movie reviews are really important. I think they're an important part of like the movie world and movie culture. And I think they have an amazing function in what they do. And good movie critics work really hard. And I respect and admire much of what so many critics are doing. I think that our culture as a whole, though, I just perceive a problem in that we read so much, we place so much importance on movie reviews sometimes that's 90% of what we're talking about online is the merits or demerits of a movie. And we boil it down to a percentage score. And I think that can be unhealthy and not fair to the artists and not good for the consumers who are going to the movies, and that it can just not be the best thing for the movie going experience.
Yeah.
Well, without further ado, here is my discussion with Amy Harrington. We are here with my good friend, Amy Harrington. Hello, Amy.
Hi.
Amy and I are kind of film friends and just college friends from a ways back. And so she was someone who I talked a lot to when I was thinking about starting this podcast and helped me kind of get it going. Amy was an English major with me in college, and we actually both studied abroad too in Liverpool at the same time. And during that semester, we took a film class together, and we actually went to the movies a few times. Do you remember, Amy, any of the movies that we watched in the film class?
Oh, American... Was it...
Yeah, that's the one that popped in my head too. American Psycho.
Yep, that's what I thought. A
memorable movie.
And we went to see True Grit together.
Yeah, I was thinking that remake. True Grit. Did you go see Black Swan with me too?
No, I didn't.
I guess I was with a couple other people. What about, you remember that movie, Your Highness?
How could I forget?
What a ridiculous movie. But we saw that as a group too. That's really funny. Yeah, but that semester, I think, really helped me. Like, I was actually in another film class too there, and that really helped me grow my, I don't know, the way I think about movies in general. Tell us, Amy, what are some of your favorite movies? Tell us your top four movies.
I gotta say, this is very challenging for me because I do love all movies, basically. Yeah. But the top one, I guess they're not really in order, but... Singing in the Rain is big because I think it was one of the first musicals I ever watched. Mm. And I remember watching it with my mother, and I could still just watch it over and over and over. It's classic. It's funny. It's just all around great. Pride and Prejudice, the 2005 version with Keira Knightley.
Yep.
It's another one. It's beautiful. Like, it's stunning.
That is a good one.
Lovely. Oh, it's just so great.
I have seen that. I have actually not seen Singing in the Rain, to my great regret, because I know it's one of the all-time greats, and I really, really want to see it.
1952. They did it very well. Okay. Mm. Pride and Prejudice was another one I watched over and over and over with my mother. Titanic.
Yeah.
And I think, I know that's so cheesy. Everyone loves Titanic. Everyone's seen Titanic, but I love historical films, and that is just the peak. It's got drama, history, love. You can't go wrong. And finally, I'm cheating, but Star Wars, all of the Star Wars movies.
When you say all of the Star Wars movies, do you mean the original trilogy, all six, all eight that we have now?
Oh, all eight.
There's Why also not? The in-between, Rogue One.
Okay, all nine. Ten,
that's
if we're counting
big,
Solo.
That's a big time cheating. But do you have a favorite among the Star Wars movies? That's a hard question now, too.
Probably the first one, episode four, because it.
Yeah, it's like a whole.
My love for sci-fi, and it's just a great film.
I agree. And yeah, that has like the whole beginning to end. Like, it can be its own encapsulated thing. I think that's a cool thing about it. Although my favorite is Empire Strikes Back. I have a real hard time not putting The Last Jedi like way up there, because I really, really liked this most recent Last Jedi movie.
It was spectacular. Star Wars. The characters in Star Wars are just so good. Like, everything.
They really are.
So creative.
That's really cool. So we should do a whole other episode about Star Wars probably. But
yes.
To also give a little more information about Amy. So you were a English major. You have spent a fair amount of time thinking critically about movies and like writing papers about them and that sort of thing. That was another reason that I thought, you know, Amy's a good person to have on the podcast. We had a conversation a few weeks ago, and I was telling you kind of the idea for the show, and you said that you like that idea because you don't feel like you're a great critic. This is when I was saying that I don't want it to necessarily be movie reviews. And then you said that, and I really loved kind of the way you talked about that. So what exactly did you mean by that you're not a good movie critic?
Well, I see a lot of movies. And there are very, very few movies I don't like. If it keeps me entertained, I love it. I just love being taken away in the moment, and I enjoy an hour and a half or 2 hours just being somewhere else. And I love every movie. And so my friends always say, oh, have you seen that? And I'll say, I'll have, but everyone says, don't listen to Amy. She likes everything. I'm just a happy person. Everything makes me happy.
No, I love that. And I think there's this weird like pressure to be critical. And it's like, if a movie comes up, immediately the conversation goes to, well, it's good or bad. If there's any disagreement, it becomes an argument about why people think it's good or bad. And I think that's okay. And that can be done in good fun. But I think it also, the whole culture of that can have some really negative effects. And that's kind of what I wanted to explore with this episode. So I mentioned this kind of idea to my wife, and she's like, yeah, I think that's really true. And it's probably true of other art forms as well. But movies is the one that I talk the most about. So it's where I've kind of experienced it. But she said it really well. She said, just because I can't be critical of art doesn't mean I can't appreciate it or engage with it. And I think that's really true. And there's also this weird pressure to like be critical in the most creative way. So much of the, like the online movie reviews or discussions, it's we're going to rip this movie apart or we're going to rip this person apart for liking it. And I just think that to a point can skew so negative that it's not helpful.
Definitely.
Yeah. Have you experienced that before?
Yes. Even if something seems so unrealistic, like, oh, that's so outrageous, so absurd, I still think that it was awesome. Who came up with that? I could not have dreamed that up. Like, it was great.
It's like, I do think critically and I think, okay, I didn't think that part of it was great or whatever, but there's good and bad in every movie. And to say that a movie is only good or only bad is unfair. And I think too, if you watch the credits of a movie and you see how many people spent so many hours and years of their life building this this big piece of art, even if I didn't connect with anything in the movie, at least I engaged with it for a couple of hours and gave my time and attention to something that people put their blood, sweat, and tears into. And kind of another example of that, I was listening to a podcast the other day and they were talking about some movies from like the 90s and kind of movies that have like a nostalgic following. And they were just stating as fact, yeah, well, this one's good. This one's not good. And this one's terrible. And
that's not fair.
And yeah, these are like friends and it's lighthearted. It wasn't like anyone was being shamed in that. But there are people listening. They're like, oh, that's my favorite movie. You know? So I think that we can be sensitive to the way we talk about that because it really can breed shame in people. What situations have you been in where you felt uncomfortable or stressed out in a movie conversation?
Honestly, anytime someone says, especially if I watched a movie with them and they say, oh, I did not enjoy that. Yeah. Why did you make me watch that? Like that, I would never see that again. And I guess I am kind of easily offended. I try not to be, but I just think, I don't understand. Like that was so entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there's always good you can find in there, whether it was the music or.
Yeah, absolutely. So like, I think there's a level of like, you just love movies and like, you're going to be on board with or at least, you know, get on the level of it and engage with it no matter what and find something positive to say about
it. Right. Like, there's no reason for you to say, well, why did you like that? I do not like it when people shame you for liking something. It's.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've definitely been in that situation too, where. Or it's like a group and people start saying, yeah, that movie's terrible. And I'm sitting here secretly thinking, oh, I really liked it. But now I feel like I can't say that out loud. Or you liked that movie? Like that really can just get negative quick.
Yes.
And I think this gets too into kind of the idea of negativity bias, that if like the things that are negative on the internet are what gets most attention. And I think it sticks in our brain too. Like I've done, you know, a tiny amount of research about negativity bias, but it's the idea that you see a really positive thing or an equally negative thing, and the negative one is the one that's going to be more meaningful or more powerful in your brain. And I think that's so true even too in like the world of clickbait and like you see just the negative headlines, and it's, and that can color your perception so much too.
Agreed.
Yeah. Here I have a little story too about kind of an experience around that kind of thing. And some of this is on me. Like I maybe I'm letting this affect my brain too much, but I think it is that negativity bias idea that if I have in the past seen just a headline or some tiny little piece of information about this movie isn't good. Some one person's opinion on the internet, this movie isn't good. Then I go into the movie thinking, oh, this movie must not be any good. And I'm going to be looking for these things to criticize. And I think a great example of that recently was the movie Crazy Rich Asians, which I've not seen yet. But I just mentioned the title. I was like, oh yeah, I've just heard, you know, Crazy Rich Asians is out. It sounds interesting. And Allison was like, oh, I saw something that movie's not any good. I don't even know what it was, if it was a headline or a Facebook post or what, but it was not even firsthand. It was like hearsay that my wife heard it wasn't good. And already in my brain, I was like, okay, that movie's not any good. And then over the next couple of weeks, it was huge. It's making all this money. Everyone seems to be praising it. Allison was like, yeah, that was just one person. I don't know. Like, I'm sitting here like, well, I thought it wasn't any good. And it's because of this culture of there's a critical consensus about this movie. And if you don't agree with it, you better be able to defend yourself.
That's so sad, because I read Crazy Rich Asians and then I watched it. And that was so exciting for me. It had been a long time since I had read a book and then watched the movie like back to back.
I didn't know it was a book,
and
honestly.
It was so, you can borrow it. It was so exciting. They made it come to life on the screen, and it was like vibrant. That's and awesome. It was very fun. My mother loved it too.
Hey, I wanted to jump out and give a quick word from our sponsor, Appalling Productions. Appalling Productions produces lots of things, photography, videography, music production. They really do a lot. One thing that they do and do very well, I can say from firsthand experience, is that they will compose and create music for your film, TV show, or podcast, or anything else that you might need some custom-made music for. They, in fact, did the theme song to this very podcast. So if you liked it, you can go to appallingproductions.com. That's APAULING. It's founded by a guy named Paul, so it's appalling. appallingproductions.com/contact. And if you mention Arthouse Garage in your message, they will give you a discount. I'm hearing a common theme that you and your mom seem to bond over movies. Is that true?
Yes.
You're like in your top four.
When I'm home, when I go home to visit or stay, if I even just am staying one night, mom's like, got any new rom-coms? Nice. Like, any new movies?
That's really cool.
Should we watch?
I grew up with that too. My family watched a lot of movies. So I think that's probably why movies are in my DNA a little bit. That's cool. Along the same lines of like that negativity idea, how do you feel about star ratings or like Rotten Tomatoes, critical consensus kind of things? Do you pay attention to those?
Of course I do. Yeah. I look at them, but even if I've already planned to see a movie and Rotten Tomatoes says, oh, it got a 22%, I think, oh, that's funny. I'm going to go decide for myself. Yeah. But I hate when I'm asked to give a rating like that because it's too hard. It's not fair.
Yeah.
There are so many good things. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I love the movie or the website Letterboxd because it's just a cool kind of film social network to engage with that kind of stuff. But it has you rate star ratings. And that for the longest time really stressed me out because I would watch a great movie and think, well, I shouldn't give it 5 stars. People think I'm crazy if I give this movie 5 stars. Only the best things get 5 stars. Or everyone loves this movie, but I didn't really get it. I'm going to give it 2 stars. And like, I'm stressed out about that. People are going to think I'm crazy. Like I have decided recently, I think I'm just not going to do the stars. Because you also have the option on Letterboxd of a heart or no heart. I think that I can pretty much say, yeah, I love this or I didn't love it. And that's fine.
Just
do hearts or no hearts. So on the question of like the Rotten Tomatoes or like Metascore, I remember learning exactly how those are calculated, and thinking about, okay, this like, so Metascore is a little more accurate maybe or whatever. And like digging into that and, really living by those numbers. And I think so many people do, you just glance, what's the numerical rating to decide what movie to see tonight. But I think that's part of feeds into the culture too, of like a movie is a pass or a fail. There's no in between. It's either a good movie or a bad movie. And, if you think it's a good movie, but most people think it's a bad movie, you better be able to back that up and give me some facts and figures on why. All of that is to say, I would love to just with this podcast to be a place where we can avoid that kind of talk. Like we can say, I thought this performance was good or bad, whatever. But I think it's much more interesting to dig into the meaning behind things or what can we learn. I think a central question, this is a new idea that I've had recently. I haven't even talked to my co-host about it. But maybe the question that we ask for every movie we watch is, how does watching this movie make me a better human? Or how can it make me a better human? And that can have a million answers. But I think that's part of this too, is that a movie review is one person's opinion and everyone has different opinions. And
right.
If you think about that, like, what is a Rotten Tomatoes score? It's just a handful right. of people's opinions.
Well, and I also like to think, how did it make me feel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's it. Like, movies are so personal that it's going to speak into your life sometimes when it doesn't to anyone else, or it doesn't have to be a big universal experience to be a good movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all that to say, I just think it's a shame that that's where online conversations are right now. And we want to be a force for change in that conversation.
Right.
Well, Amy, what are some movies that are not necessarily critically acclaimed that you are a big fan of?
Well, obviously a rom-com.
Yeah.
Of any kind.
Yeah.
One that I always think of is Grease. And I know a lot of people do love it, but I feel like if you're a movie critic or, I don't know, a movie snob, for lack of a better term, you would think, oh, that's like so cheesy. It's just silly. But
yeah, people turn their noses up when that comes up. Yeah, absolutely.
The movie, the music all together is just so great. Everyone knows the songs from Grease.
Hmm.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah, I think that's a good one too. So I'll say this too, and I kind of said this in episode one of the podcast, but the reason I think I'm so sensitive to this idea of like people being snobby about movies is because I used to be that way. And you, Amy, you probably knew me when I was still a lot in that mindset early on. But like with the movie Grease, I remember watching that in high school and had heard so many things about it. And I thought, you know what? It'll be cool if I tell everyone I hate this. And so I really had that. So I told all my friends that we watched it in this theater class. I was like, yeah, that was dumb. I didn't like it. And I thought it was so cool. And so like, that's a whole kind of other problem. But I think because people are proud to be film snobs. So like, I didn't make up this idea of like just snob free because out of the blue, people say that, oh, I'm a coffee snob, I'm a film snob, whatever.
True.
So I didn't make that up. And I think there are problems with that mentality. Anyway,
yes.
You have another title?
Psycho. Is a classic that a lot of people do talk about. But growing up, I always thought, I don't ever care to watch that. It's in black and white. That is not my kind of film. Well, ironically, my high school English teacher, I was really good friends with her, convinced me to watch it. So we sat down and watched it. And I was like, I'm going to have to do this more often. Nice. Give these older movies a chance, because they're classics for a reason. And so that was a good example of one where I was convinced I had no need to see it, but it's pretty great. I recommend it.
Yeah, it is really great. I really like that movie. I think that's a good, that's a kind of another class of like, there's reasons people don't watch movies like Grease. They think they're cheesy, or the things that are old and black and white, people avoid,
right?
Like popular culture completely turns their nose up at.
I have one more.
Yeah.
500 Days of Summer.
Yeah.
A lot of people talk about it. I feel like it kind of went through a phase several years ago where everyone knew what it was.
Yeah, Zooey Deschanel was huge. And
right.
I remember when that
all came. Of my friends hated me for making them watch it. No one liked it because it's not the typical ending you hope for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But to me, I loved it. The whole story and the ending felt real.
Mm.
Like, this is real life, not the typical rom-com. So,
yeah, I agree. I remember that when that came out, and like, yeah, I was kind of obsessed with Zooey Deschanel back then.
And who wasn't?
Let's be honest. Yeah, that movie did turn. I remember that too, actually, watching that with a group of like my guy friends in college. And be like, what? This movie's not having a happy ending exactly. Like, I wouldn't say it's a happy or sad ending exactly, but
right.
it's not what you expect necessarily. And it has a lot more, I think a lot more depth than your basic rom-coms. So yeah,
I agree.
Yeah. I think on that note too, like there's some genres that just don't get acclaim in general. Like there's a question of like the Oscars don't give attention to different things, but like just in general, comedies, romantic comedies, even horror movies, it's like a subgenre of film in some people's eyes. And I think that's unfortunate too. That
is sad, especially the romantic comedies. I'm sorry I'm bringing it up again, but think about all the romantic comedies that literally every woman on the planet has seen.
Mm, Yeah.
The classics like 10 Things I Hate About You, Dirty Dancing, My Best Friend's Wedding, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, The Proposal.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I think that's so true.
Why are we shamed for loving these romantic movies?
Yeah.
It's so sad.
I remember being there too, like, oh, The Proposal. Like, I hadn't seen it. I didn't know anything about it. And I was like, well, it's not got a good Rotten Tomatoes. And it's a girl movie. Like, whatever. Just completely turning my nose up at it. But I actually really like that movie. I think it's really funny.
It is great.
I think that's a good point too about, like, there's so many different reasons why we as people watch movies, and even individually, like, there's certain movies I watch for nostalgia. There's certain movies I watch for intellectual thought. Like you mentioned the movie Inception while we were preparing for this. That's such like a mind bender. But I think there's even more examples of that kind of, like, really intellectual kind of movies. Inception is one people disagree about too, that some people really hate.
I love it so much.
I'm a big fan of it.
Me too.
Yeah. But then, so like the movie I was talking about earlier where they were talking about it on this podcast, it was Space Jam. And they were like, if you go back and watch that movie, it's terrible. And I was like, what? And it brought me
so much joy.
I loved that movie as a kid. I actually, not so long ago, watched about half of it with my kids, just put it on a Saturday morning. And I was like, this is pretty funny. Remember, like, it is cheesier than I remembered, but I think so like, what does this get on Rotten Tomatoes today? why would we even ask that question? You know, like, that's, I guess, kind of what I'm trying to get at, is that if you really think about what is a movie review, it's a little bit ludicrous that we give it as much attention as we do. Anyway, there's that.
So true.
But yeah, like a romantic movie. Last week I watched Before Sunrise with Allison, and like, I wanted to watch that romantic movie with my wife, and like, that was one reason to watch that movie. That one also was really intellectual, and I love it for a lot of reasons. But yeah, we have different reasons for watching different things. And that's okay. It's a great thing. Well, do you have any final thoughts or anything we haven't mentioned?
I have a new rom-com suggestion.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it.
Netflix just put out a film a couple weeks ago called To All the Boys I've Loved Before.
All right.
It was also a book. I did not read it first.
Okay.
But it is a great high school rom-com. It's reminiscent of the 90s rom-coms in my brain. Yeah, I just really loved it.
That's really cool. I've heard good things about that too. I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't met a girl that didn't like it yet.
Oh, nice. Love it.
Yeah. Oh, I did want to make a shout out for Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
It's one of my top movies ever. Nice. And I loved that you mentioned it in episode 2. It is just classic. It's got all these big names in it and you just don't expect it.
It is so good.
And there's honestly not a plot. It's just the day in the life of an American teen.
I think that's cool. So it goes along with like that. So Richard Linklater makes so many movies that are just kind of about time. And I think that's a cool one, that it's almost a time capsule of like that time period. That's really cool. He had one recently, though. It's kind of the same deal, but more modern, called, or maybe it's set in the 70s or something. I haven't seen it. It's called Everybody Wants Some. But I've heard it's very similar to Dazed and Confused, but it was made like a couple of years ago. But yeah, Dazed and Confused is great. You got Matthew McConaughey in there.
Ben Affleck.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Oh my gosh. That was one Allison knew about and liked way before I even was aware of it, which is, that doesn't happen every day.
I wrote one of my film papers on it.
Nice.
When we were in Liverpool. Oh, one other thing I did want to say. I challenge you to watch Singing in the Rain.
Yeah.
Because as a movie person, it's got a lot of the history of when pictures added sound to the movies.
That's so cool.
It's really the main plot.
Wow. And okay. I didn't know that.
It's really fun to watch the studios figure out how they're going to make this happen.
Nice. That's one that I think would be good to cover. It's sort of like a lot of people have it in their all-timer kind of list. So that's one that I just know that I need to watch. So nice. I love that.
Thank you.
Very cool.
Thank you for having me.
You're so, so welcome. Thank you so much for being here. And we'll have you back. Maybe you can be our rom-com go-to person.
Oh, I'd love a rom-com segment.
Yeah. I love that idea. Cool. All right, Amy. Well, thank you so much. And we will talk to you next time.
Thank you. Bye.
And that will do it for the discussion with Amy Harrington. Pretty interesting discussion. No?
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. That's so cool. So like, where are reviews good? Where should they go? Like what place do they actually play?
Yeah, I think so there is an analysis component to a lot of reviews, and I think that's really good. And so I think the best, in my experience and in my opinion, the best is you watch a movie and then you go read some thoughts absolutely. From people you trust. And over time, you find people that you tend to trust and go back to those people and you like their voice. And it can help you make sense of something after you've watched it.
I think reading reviews after the movie, sometimes like I can enjoy a movie a lot, but after my first watch, I may not know exactly why I enjoyed it. And I feel like if I go read some reviews and it talks about exactly why it was good and what went into it, I'm like, oh, I can understand why I enjoyed that movie a lot more. And it gives me a lot of insight into the movie. But one of the things that I think is a big danger if you read reviews before is it can alter your perception, or you go into the movie with an already preconceived idea if you're going to like it or not based on the review you might have read.
Absolutely.
And you don't really give the movie a chance, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I've had that experience many times. And even like the opinions of friends, we touched on this a little bit in the interview, but like I remember growing up, my brother or like a friend would say, yeah, that one's not really worth your time. And then years later, I finally watched it. Like, oh, actually, I loved that. I wish I would have watched that before. Or on the other side, so even if it's a critic I really trust and I listen to a lot, then they dislike something, then I go into it seeing all those negative things, where maybe if I just experienced it cold, I would have had a better experience and connected with it more. So I think you have to be careful with that.
Yeah. So I think that's really huge because and I don't want anyone to think, oh, never read reviews, right? But just be careful about reading reviews before you go into a movie.
Yeah.
I think that's all you need to worry about.
Yeah. I love that. One other thing I want to say that's kind of related is that, so Amy talks about seeing the good in movies and liking pretty much everything she watches. I think there's still a place to be critical. Like I'm going to watch a movie and not love every single aspect of it. But I think the key is that you surrender to it and you give it the time, and that you don't try not to come in with preconceived notions or spend all your energy looking at the negative parts of it, because I just think that's going to make you sad overall anyway. And yes, we need to know, like, we need to know what's a good movie, like what makes a movie good or bad. Like there are things for that, but a lot of that's opinion too. And I think the culture online is such that, and just the culture in general is such that it can just be really divisive. And I just want to push against that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, we want to know what you think, everyone listening. Do you think movie reviews are overrated or do you think that they're worth the time?
Yeah.
Taking the time to read. Tell us let us know what you think on our social medias. Andrew, how can they follow us on social media?
And I'll say too, I really would appreciate feedback on this because I think there are people who may disagree to some degree with what we're talking about. And I would love to hear why. And if there's enough discussion, episode 2 about this topic, and we dig into it more. But you can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at Arthouse Garage, also on Stardust. And then Drew and I are both on Letterboxd. I will link all those in the show notes. And you can leave us a rating or a review on iTunes, and that's another place that I would appreciate feedback. I think that's a good place to hear, hey, we don't like what you're doing, do it better, or we love it and do more of the same. Please reach out, we would love to engage. And that's all for this week. Thank you so much for joining us.
See you next week.
Bye.